John chapter 5. We're in that time of the year that you never know what where to turn the thermostat or turn the air or the paddle fans or anything on. So John chapter 5 today, we're going to sing the first 18 verses, and if you'd like to read them, you can. We're going to sing the first 18 verses of John chapter 5. And acapella, yeah, unless the Milton or Linda would like to play for us. We would probably be best if we would just read it. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem the sheep market, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked, and on that same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him, that was cured, it is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. And he answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which saith unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed was not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, and a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus finding him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we just thank you for your precious word, and thank you for those hymns that we had the opportunity to sing this morning, the special, both specials, the offertory and the special that the young folks sang, and the congregation joined us. It's what a wonderful day to come. What precious words to sing. And we ask, dear Lord, that it was all done to your honor and glory. And now we're going to pour over your precious word that we may learn more about you. And please, as we enjoy this study, just guide us, lead us, take us from one word to the next, and show us what you would and how you would have it apply to our hearts today. Each and every one here has a need. We will always be in need until the day we face you or can look to you face to face. So please, dear Father, that we look to you for that need, and then that we fully and completely trust that you'll fill that need however you see fit. May not be the way we've requested, but your way is always best and always right. Please touch every heart today, those that are here that do not know you as their Savior. They've got to be saved. They've got to be saved soon, because the days are so numbered. And we look at those that are in years and and know that they may have just a few days or a few months or maybe just a couple of years left of their life. But Father, we need to know that you set the day to be born and the day to die. And so we are not promised tomorrow. And so we need to live for you today. And the first that we must do, and that's come by faith to you and meet you at the cross, that our sins can be taken away and we can begin living for the first time. So please today, dear Father, touch every heart, whatever the need is. And I praise you right now for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. From the first day until the last words that our Savior upon this earth stated, which is, it's finished, Jesus shows mercy and his grace. And we see another beautiful picture here as we look at this fifth chapter. It made no difference what their name was or what color they were. Jesus would come by and with his helping hand would heal. And we watched him do that, and the scripture tells us that the world could not contain the volumes of all the things, the wonderful things, the wonderful healings, and the mercy that God has shown in his Son, the Lord Jesus, as he walked on earth. The books could not contain what he did. What a beautiful, beautiful thought. We have such a small list here of what has been given. When Jesus chooses to heal the body, there is always the second point, the important point, and that is that by the healing of the body, that the healing of the spirit will come, that they'll be born again, they'll be saved. There is always this second item that is greater than the first. But our Lord, when he was here, would use the first to show his power and his strength, to show them that he was also very capable of healing a sin-sick soul. And so we see this once again. This fifth chapter, the very beginning here with this impotent man here at the Pool of Bethesda, is probably one of the most beautiful pictures we have of the condition, the best picture, not a beautiful picture, but the best picture of a sinner, and then a most beautiful picture of the Savior and of the Lord Jesus as he come to save. You know, healing of the body, again, always comes first because that miracle opens it up so that the blind, spiritually blind, will hopefully see the need that their soul has. We have looked at the Samaritan woman and how that he would come, and in that case there was no healing, but we had the healing of the soul, which was very important. And then we had the revival. And then if you would look back at 46 through verse 54, and I just didn't feel led today. We've come to this passage. But it's a beautiful story about the nobleman's son. And don't miss reading that. They came and said, "My son is sick back in Capernaum, and you've got to come, and you've got to come now." And Jesus just gave him those words that, "You go thy way, and thy son liveth." And then he meets a servant on the way and finds that the very hour that Jesus spoke those words was his son healed. And so what beautiful messages and what beautiful stories and truths that we have in his word showing God's grace and God's mercy. And when you look to the Word of God and study the Word of God, you'll find many of these. Once again, here in the fifth chapter, we have the same, and we find a purpose for the Lord Jesus being in Jerusalem. And of course, we know it's to heal this impotent man, but also is to fulfill the law. Because until the Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, he fulfilled the Jewish law. And one of the laws, requirements of that law, was that you had to be at the feasts in Jerusalem. There were three that were required that they should travel to Jerusalem. And that was quite an event. Now, Dr. Schofield believes that it was the Passover. You can some believe it was Pentecost, but it was definitely a feast that at that time, and we find many people at Jerusalem, and so it probably was definitely one of the three. And so no longer discussion, we're just going to call it the Feast of the Passover, and our Lord is there. A couple of reasons why I think probably that it is the Feast of the Passover, because we find ourselves at a very special place, and that's at the sheep market. Now you think, why is that a special place to be at the sheep market? Well, as we look at the gate that he would come through, at the sheep gate, and then just inside the sheep gate is the sheep market, and just beyond this location we find this pool. And so this kind of gives you just a little bit of a layout of the land. What is the purpose of a sheep market right inside the city of Jerusalem? You know, for many years we hauled all our livestock down to East St. Louis, you know, and it's not a pretty thing to have inside the city. And a matter of fact, it was kind of a part of the town that nobody really wanted to live in because of the constant hours, day and night, big trucks coming and going. And plus, for some reason, there's a slight odor that goes along with a livestock yards. And so here is this sheep market. But there was a very special purpose for this sheep market, because they would bring these lambs through the sheep gate and bring them to this location, this market, and people would come during the days. They would come and they would purchase a lamb there to give as an offering. And so we have this beautiful picture of this sacrificial lamb right here, right next to this pool of Bethesda with the five porches, as it tells us here. And so you've got to see the importance of the location here, and what is so very close, and something I don't want you to miss as well, and that is the very temple itself is not far away. And so we have the sheep gate, the sheep market, the sheep gate, the sheep market, and then this pool. But for the folks to be coming through and purchasing their lamb, and then taking their lamb and then giving it to the priest for the offering of their sacrifice, as they should do. And so as they bring that, and we all know that we need someone to take our place, and it's got to be the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. No other can take away our sin. And of course, this was always a picture of just that, and this was an event that would take place often here. So we find that we have the sheep market where they buy the lamb, and then just on the other side you find the temple. And between those two locations we find this pool. And at that pool we find someone that is in not a healthy condition. And as I read verse 2, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches." It also has the meaning of house of pity or mercy, Bethesda. "And then in these," verse 3, "lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the movement of the water." Waiting for the movement of the water. This great multitude, we're not told the number, but I would like for you to think of of what you're seeing here. Because when you come into this area and by the sheep gate, and most would see these poor folks, these sick folks, laying, most were not able to stand, either they were sitting or laying around this pool. And it says a multitude of folks. There's something that takes place here, and there's a stirring of the water, and they have to get to the edge of the water first and touch the water, and then it says they're healed. Now here's all these folks around this pool, in such a unique location, halfway between the place where you pick up the lamb for your sacrifice and the place where the lamb was offered. Here's these sick folks. And isn't that exactly where we're located? You know, we need to understand that we need to get to that place where that lamb was offered. To be just close to the lamb, to even just purchase the lamb, is not going to make any difference in our lives. But when we take it and accept that offering as ours, and we offer that lamb, in other words, we trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior, that's the day that we go from being blind, halt, and withered to being made whole and having a victorious and wonderful life in Jesus Christ. Blind, that is self-explanatory. You know, we're told here by these three things that are listed what's wrong with these folks. And I'm sure that covered a multitude of diseases. And blind, of course, we can understand that it's, in looking it up, it is to be physically blind or to have a cloud over our eyes. To be halt is to be crippled. And to be withered is to be shrunken. And you know, as disease takes our bodies over, it's exactly what happens to us. We begin to wither away. And it also has a beautiful picture of a spiritual side to it. Being blind, we are lost. We've been blinded by the devil, and we're lost, dying in our sin. We're crippled by this sin. And so to be blind, halt, and withered sure takes in every side of our spiritual sickness and disease that we have as much as something physical. Every sinner is spiritually blind. Every sinner needs to come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one. Do we see that as believers with our eyes? Now, we can see folks that are physically sick. There's not barely a day that goes by that probably we don't hear of someone, maybe see something in the paper, maybe we meet someone, the phone rings, and we find that someone is sick or someone is dying. There's barely a day goes by that sometime through the day that we are not touched by someone's life, someone that we know, or maybe it was just an acquaintance. All of a sudden we've heard that they've been to a hospital somewhere and they're dying of cancer. But there's barely a day goes by that we don't hear of someone. And when we hear that, I hope, no matter who it is, that your heart goes out to them. And you immediately have pity upon them and upon their family and mercy upon them. You just, their first thought should be, you know, I wonder if they're saved. But most of the time our thought is that, I can't imagine going through that. And I had a cousin or I had a mother or a father or someone that has died with something similar to that. And, that's a horrible, painful death. We connect with things physical. We see and we hurt with people that have physical ailments. And we go to their aid. You know, we may take them to the doctor. We may help them go get their medicine. We may even buy their medicine for them. We may help them get their groceries. We may help them with something around the house that they can no longer take care of because of the sickness that they have. We feel sorry for them. We go to help them. And that's what we should do. We should have pity on those that are sick. And when I say pity, it's good. We should show mercy towards them. And that should come from the heart of every believer when something physical is wrong. But we seem to see that, and our heart pours out to them. But my question today is, do we do that with the spiritual need? Do we see how people around us are spiritually sick and dying? Do we see that? We should. We now have spiritual eyes. Prior to being born again, we couldn't. The only thing we can look at is physical. And it seems like that part still works, which it should. But how about the spiritual needs of people? We have folks around us that are not just dying in their trespasses and sins. They are dead in their trespasses and sins. They're dead. We can give them life by telling them the wonderful words of our Savior. And I thought when I walked down the street and I walked through that sheep gate and I come by the sheep market, I have no idea whether my eyes and my mind, I'm sure it wasn't anything like it. I've never been there. I can't imagine. And even what they've restored, you know, it is, who knows whether it's what it was the day that Jesus walked through this gate. But you see things like that. And then you come and I can see this porch and I can see the pool and I can look on forwards and I can see the temple. But between there, my eyes come down and they see all these people laying around and they're moaning and they're groaning and they're sick and they're hurting. Because there's a physical need there. Well, you know, our eyes need to lower down because sometimes we get a little high-minded. Our eyes need to lower down upon this world as it's dead. And it's just going to, one day, one simple day, they'll take their last breath and walk right off into eternity. An eternity that we could have changed for them if we would have brought the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus to them. But we choose not to. Because we don't see how sick they are. We don't see them as being dead. We can look at a dead body in a casket, and we know that body is lifeless. But we don't look at a lost soul as someone that is lifeless. We even spend time, you know, that sword there said, you know, Halloween's, coming, but I'm not going. Halloween is all about death and witches and goblins and all kinds of junk. And it's right, we should have nothing to do with it. That's the devil's holiday. And the devil loves that day. But you see, as you drive down the road, people really get into it. And they have a casket with a dead body in it and all kinds of stuff that's sick. That's all it is, just morbid. But they're not afraid of doing that. But, you know, you and I should see when we look into a person's eyes, it's lost. We ought to see them right in that casket because that's right where they're at. But, you know, when somebody is laying in that casket, their body's laying there, there's nothing you and I can do. But if we would look into their eyes and see that they are dead now in their trespasses and sins, we can give them life, life eternal. So you see, when Jesus walked through this place, I'm sure he saw the lamb. I'm sure he saw those coming by to purchase the lambs. I'm sure he looked forward and saw the temple. But I know that he saw those that were blind, halt, and withered. And different than you and I, he didn't just see the physical need. He saw their spiritual need because, you see, he didn't come here to die for us so that we could be physically made whole now. We will be made physically whole because he's going to give us a new body later. But right now, he came to take away our sin, to die for us. So, you see, he looked right beyond and saw the real need. And we need to do the same. The spiritual need. Physical need, yes, we're here to help. But the spiritual need, we must be here proclaiming the gospel. They were all waiting. We have the folks, and I hope that I have painted enough of a picture that you can see these folks laying here. And then in verse 4, it says, "For an angel went down at the certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." And then it goes on to tell about this man that's been there 38 years. Being back in Numbers on the Carthage radio makes me, I'm right there. We're at the end of 38 years of wandering in the wilderness. And this man has done the same thing. He has been for 38 years. Is he 38 years old and he's always been there? You're probably not. I don't know how early they would bring him to this location. So he was probably a little older than that. But for 38 years, he has had this troubling disease that has caused him to not be able to get to this water. And Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And he said unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" You know, you may think this is a strange place to insert that, but you know, a person can't be saved till he knows he's lost. And when Jesus asked that question, "Do you want to be made whole?" is no different than the question when we ask somebody, "Do you want to be saved?" That's the same question. Because spiritually, you're dead. You want to be made alive? You want to be made whole? Do you want to be saved? What would happen if you would say to the folks that you've been talking to and visiting with, "Would you like to be made whole?" What would be their response? You know, maybe they just wouldn't say, "Oh, yes, I'm saved," because that troubled them just a little bit, because they wouldn't understand that question. And it would give you an opportunity to ask them and tell them about the saving power of Jesus that could make them whole. And so Jesus asked that question here. But before we get to that far, we have something's going on here in this pool. And we're just about out of time, and so we're going to just spend a couple of minutes here, and I want you to think about this, and we'll probably start here. This stirring of the water. This stirring of the water. Is this real? Is this real? That the first person that would get their big toe into this water, no matter what their ailment, they would be made whole. You know, as we look through this fourth verse, I want you to see some things here that we can think on between now and next week. Verse 4 has a whosoever in it. And also it has a whatsoever. Now, you don't see that very often. You know, you see the whosoever will come, but then it deals with a whatsoever. And I love that whatsoever, because that means anything or everything that's wrong with me, God can take care of. Whatsoever. And that's what that's saying here. Whatsoever disease I had. So, whosoever then, first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Boy, isn't that our Lord Jesus. The whosoever and the whatsoever. But also, if you'll come down, and I had to add a little bit to that in verse 7. In verse 7, the impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled." And so here we have added something of the whensoever. Because now we have a whosoever, a whatsoever, and a whensoever. How often did this water was stirred? When was this water stirred? The scripture just says, at a certain season. At a certain season, the water was stirred. Now, to whether, and you can go back and an angel come and told Zacharias that they were going to have John the Baptist, you know. An angel come and took the beggar Lazarus that was at the rich man's, ate the crumbs off the rich man's table. You know, the old rich man just died. That's a beautiful picture. He just died. But Lazarus was taken and lifted up by angels and taken home. So we have a lot of things that angels do. And, you know, angels are not, as many people think, at our beckoning call. They are at God's beckoning call. And when God sends one of his angels or a legion of angels to assist us or to do his work in some manner or another, that he would receive the honor and glory, he will do so. Here we have the stirring of the water. Now, today we're not going to talk about whether that's something God sent or not, but I want you to see, before we close, that the whosoever includes everybody. The whatsoever, every sin is taken care of, everyone. Now, the whensoever, I want you to see that, because you can't get saved whenever you want to. It's whenever God stirs the water. It's whenever God stirs the water. It's got to be the work of the Holy Spirit upon the heart of the lost. That's how you got saved. That's how I got saved. The Holy Spirit touched our heart and we listened. And so don't say today that tomorrow I'm going to get saved, because tomorrow you may not have, and the stirring of the water may not come tomorrow. It may not come. So there's a great urgency in our giving out of the word of salvation, of the message of the gospel. And there's a great urgency in you accepting the gospel. Because if you hear him calling today, you come. Don't wait. Because there may not be another time that comes. You see, we've been talking about these verses of scripture for a half hour, and we haven't even got to the man that's going to witness this tremendous miracle. But there's so much to talk about. Just getting there. The who, the what, and the when. The who is you. The what is God's problem, and he takes care of it. And the when is also God's doing. Anyone that desires salvation, God will draw. But it's his time. And if you hear him calling, please do not turn away. Please do not turn away. Next week we'll witness what happens to this man. I'll even let you read ahead if you'd like to see this beautiful story. And this man didn't have to step his big toe into that stirring water. He didn't have to wait because Jesus was there. I love this story. I hope you've enjoyed it this morning. I hope it's blessed your heart. I hope that God's been honored and glorified through it. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you today that we can come and just take our time through these verses of Scripture. I just ask that you make it ever so clear. Whatever part or whatever word that was spoken, many a time, dear Father, I've sat in preaching and you'll touch my heart with one point, and I have to admit I never heard anything past that point. because that's what you were dealing with me about. And maybe it was a second or third word that I said this morning, and the rest of the time your mind cannot get off and your heart cannot get away from that one point that was made. Or maybe, Father, you've taken every word and just touched our hearts with it. We are here, dear Father, not to please ourselves and not to honor ourselves, but we are here to praise and honor and glorify your name. And I ask that that was done through your word and through the precious songs. And as we close this service, that it will continue. And then we're going to enjoy as we do the Lord's Supper today. Please, dear Lord, just touch every heart, whatever the need. Bring the lost, grow the saved. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.